Perez. Wiltord makes a run ahead of it. Bergkamp suddenly changed pace through the centre. It's Bergkamp! That's magnificent! The move, and then this, which left Dabby's ass totally stranded.
Hello, dear listener and viewer and people doing neither, and welcome to a Bergkamp Wonderland. Yeah, we're still here. With me tonight to talk about the arse is at top right-hand corner. It's the man who turned up at exactly 8 o'clock. It's the Scores on the Doors with Josh. I'm not telling his surname. 23. You're right.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. And I turned up when I was asked to. 8 o'clock. So deal with it.
Did you have a little panic attack when he said your surname?
Nah, it's fine. I'm sure it's been out in the wilderness at some point.
They'll hunt you down.
Yeah, and give me whatever I've got coming. Hopefully it's good things. Yeah, Easter's just been, so maybe they've got some leftover Easter eggs, in which case I will happily receive them.
What Easter egg did you get, young man?
I have a Maltesers one, but I also had another one from a chocolatier in Brighton, because I did.
There we go. Yeah. What was it? Just one of their specials?
It was handmade. I watched him make it himself. And I realised putting Brighton in that has made you think completely opposite of what actually happened. And the chocolate surprise I ended up with was... chocolatey.
Oh, excellent. Nice. Not a dirty protest then.
No, praline filled. It was very nice.
Now we're talking. I had a... Sean's mum got me 10 cream eggs, 7 of them in the freezer. Freeze your cream eggs, people. Thank me later.
What? Is that to use as a weapon? Because that's the only thing they're good for.
It is. It could be either, but be careful if you've got wonky teeth, because you won't have wonky teeth anymore. And brush your teeth when you're done. And then Sean got me a Bailey's one, which was lovely. Proper Bailey's chocolate. Most of the time you'll get an Easter egg and the actual egg itself will have nothing to do flavour-wise to the box. But the Southern Comfort behave. The Bailey's did. Nick, did you get 100 Easter eggs, and why haven't you grown a beard yet? It makes you look more manly.
I try to grow a beard, but every time I have a shave, I cut myself because I'm useless. I have one Easter egg behind me. I have a Terry's chocolate orange mini eggs.
Get that. Put it right in the bloody bin. Orange and chocolate. Orange, orange and chocolate have no need to be together.
Dirt. I know, but the missus hates it with a passion, so that's what I always buy, so I don't have to share.
See.
Smart. And Nick, if you're going to try and grow a beard, shaving's the thing that's holding you back.
Yeah.
You don't need to shave.
Why did nobody tell me?
That's day one error, that is. Yeah. Don't do it.
Growing a beard 101, that is.
Look at young Melvin there. He's got a little wry grin thinking, what the hell have I got myself into? Melvin, did you get an Easter egg?
No, I haven't. Didn't get an Easter egg, but I did learn something up in the north this year.
Yeah.
Fish and chip shop has been battering Cadbury's cream eggs, and they're supposed to be delicious. They had all customers come in, cut them in half, and eat them. I go, I'm not sure about. Oh, it's actually lovely, really nice. About 10 customers. Not that I'm going to have one, but I just thought, oh, that is different. That is different to a Mars bar. So it might catch on. You never know.
Well, my child lives in Nottingham, and that's northern, and they do all kinds of weird rubbish with food up there. It just makes me sick, so I tell her not to tell me about it. But are you all right, Melvin? Have you had a good week? We haven't seen you in a few weeks.
No, I've been fine, thanks. Yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. Thank you very much.
Been going to the games?
Yep, went last night. That was hard work. Not only watching the game, but getting to and from the game. It was a nightmare. Absolute nightmare. Yeah. The trains, it was like, just very quickly, we had to meet a couple of guys in a pub on Holloway Road, which I don't normally frequent. Holloway Road, don't get out there normally, but thought we'd do that. So I changed from my line, got on the Piccadilly line, went past Arsenal Station. The next one is Holloway, as we all know, obviously. It came in the station, beautiful, then went straight past it without stopping. Then we got out. And we said, they're all Arsenal supporters. What's going on? Oh, no, I don't know. So we went to the other line to go back. And the loudspeaker said, next train to Arnos Grove, we'll be stopping. First stop, Holloway. Thank God for that. So we got in, went on the train. got to Holloway, and it didn't stop again. So there we go. Absolutely wonderful. And to make
and it if perfect, you write, if you write all your complaints down, we will forward them to Carl, who runs the underground.
Oh, thank you.
You've not had the pleasure of podcasting with Carl. But if you have any, if anybody has any gripes, it's @that_London_guy on Twitter. He will accept all of your London Underground. In fact, any transport, even if you're living in Singapore now, he will take the blame for any kind of transport issues you have. All right, let's go and have a look at the chat and see who's in there and say hello to some people. Englishman in Canada, I got your email. I'm glad you got it. It says, desperate for Sheffield United to pull something out of their arse here. More chance of Danny getting up before 4 p.m. I woke up at 4, and then I woke up at 5, and I also woke up at 6, and then I got out of bed at 7:15. That's because I am on a diet now, and I wee every 3.5 hours, so I'm struggling to get my usual 12 hours a day. Brady's Banana is there. Evening all. Oh, by the way, the score is Liverpool 1, Sheffield United 0. Disgraceful. Chad, your team have let us down. And Brady's Banana says, Mexican wave, just an Irish man and an English man so far. That's not very good, is it? Rudy Rastos, good evening, Gooners. Rudy is waving. Rudy says, no, I do not moan about our two games. I think we have done really well in both games. At the Etihad, our defensive display was world class. Hope we do it against Bayern. Someone remind me, let's talk about Bayern a little bit because we've got slim pickings tonight. Phil is there. He's living in the flat above Nick's. Has he been giving you any grief, Nick?
I wonder what that banging was up there. Has he been locked up again?
He has. He's a man on the run. Hente from Finland is there. Nice crew, evening, chaps. Avon, not Teddington, afternoon. A Foot Gaming, you guys look like a retired boy band. God, I have no skills in absolutely anything, so I would have to be the drummer. Avon says, smoke me a Mars bar, then throw it away. Nice. And where are we? What does Nick say? Nick says, if it's not COD or Spurs, don't bother.
Battering.
Oh, hello. Oh, cryptic. Tidy. And Brady's Banana, Nick's gaming collection is as big as mine, but I've had a few more years on him. First game, Attic Attack on the Spectrum, 82-ish. My first one I owned was for the BBC B in about that era. Now, what game would it be? It was something like Star Trek, but you had little things on the screen like the asteroid machines, and you used to fly them around, and I had no idea what I was doing. It was with a disk drive. I think my dad used to work for a computer company, taking them to conferences, and he stole them. Anyway, Muppet Danny, I live 400-year-old barn in Hunstanton. We've been through this. No, you don't. Right, first of all, Josh, your take on the Man City game and the Luton game, because there's very little to talk about for either of them.
Well, I think I sat through the entire Man City game, and I think it was it was definitely a good performance from Arsenal, you know, to close down one of the best attacking teams in world football. And again, I think there was, I think to take 4 points off City this season based on our previous form against them, and the same for Liverpool, a good result overall. There's definitely moments that, I don't know, the Belgian Arshavin, messing up that opportunity to cross the ball to Martinelli. I think that was one of the real clear-cut chances that we had, but it felt like the immovable object meeting the unstoppable force in both ways, that neither of us could really created much, but I think we would all generally settle with a point. Now, it may come to the end of the season, and we may say that's one of the places where we could have got more, but you saw what Aston Villa tried to do, right? They tried to go at City, scored first, lost 4-1. So sometimes you have to be a little bit, a little bit smart about what we can get out of a game. And I think the same kind of comes to Luton. It's a game I didn't watch, but I feel like from everything I've read, everything I have now watched in terms of highlights, the second half was just as unrememberable as the entire of the Man City game.
Where were you? Why weren't you watching it?
I was at a gig. I was watching the Hives, Brighton Dome. So yeah.
Did you get Hives?
I definitely saw them. I did not receive the Hives.
No.
No.
Good.
But yeah, terrible. I think the the Luton game is a kind of the professional performance. I had one of the rare opportunities to pick up a copy of the Standard and read old Collings's musings in there as well.
Yeah.
And I think he summed it up quite nicely that it was almost one of the most routine performances that you could get in kind of a boilerplate for that. You know, making multiple changes and players who you'd hope would step up and see that there's an opportunity for them if they do perform well, look like they did, and others that didn't necessarily perform to their best. But I'm sure, you know, I've already eked out enough blood from this stone of two fixtures. Got to leave something else on it for the other two guys to talk about as well.
Nick, is there any meat left on that bone for you? Because you didn't watch the Man City game. Josh,
I couldn't pretend I did it there if you hadn't said that. But no, I watched the match of the day highlights, and there wasn't many highlights to watch. Looks like not much happened. And I think both teams were happy with a draw. And the Luton game, the first half an hour wasn't too bad. And then the next hour, nothing really happened. I suppose the only thing which I liked about that was Arteta did do a bit of rotation for the game, because I think a few players looked quite tired. And I think this is the first time in a long while he has like sent Saka out on crutches and a Zimmer frame and just injected Red Bull into his veins and forced him on for 90 minutes. So that was good. I mean, I expect to play every game from now until the end of the season like that. But yeah, he rotated a bit, and the other lads that come in, they did okay. I think Zinchenko done a couple of his walkabout moments.
Did you say Zinchenko?
Yes, Zinchenko. That's what I'm going to call him from now on.
500. Tidy.
Yeah, and yeah, so is that the end of the podcast?
No, not yet. We've got to wait. It might be the end for you, because you're smiling like a Cheshire cat there. Have you got any other wise words before we let Melvin try and make some kind of stock out of the bones that is left from those two games? Because you two have left him bugger all to talk about. But again, he was there, and he might have seen Patrick.
Oh, he was there. Oh, great. He could tell us about the atmosphere and stuff. Was there an atmosphere?
No. None at all.
What was it down to, Melvin? I'm going to guess that it was because no one wants to go and see Luton. So loads of tickets went on sale to people with cameras, and then all those people went, which way do I face? Was that the gist of it?
I don't think it was, to be honest with you, because I was after four tickets for that game. And I couldn't get any. I let everybody down. And I never thought I'd say that on a Wednesday night, a cold Wednesday night, Arsenal playing home to Luton, and I can't get any tickets. I don't think it was that. I think it was basically after the excitement to playing the top teams like City and teams like that, you suddenly come and play Luton, and you know what the game's going to be like. It's like they're not going to try and attack, and it's a matter of can we score? How quickly can we break them down? And then can we hold on to it quietly? And that's exactly what we did. It wasn't an exciting game. It didn't get you off your seat. And the only thing that got you off your seat is when we scored twice, and it was like, sit down and keep quiet and wait till something else happens. Well, nothing did. Second half, it was, I mean, really, I can't stand halftime, because they have all these silly things on the pitch. They have people taking penalties with Gunnosaurus in goal and all that. But that was more exciting than the second half.
So is he better than Almunia?
Even money. He's better in the air than Almunia, that's a certainty. But it was like, go back to the Man City game, first of all. Yeah, we did brilliantly defending. I think there was a little bit more in our tank that we could have taken them. But the bottom line was, we could not afford to lose. Draw was okay. Win, obviously, fantastic. And it's like when you play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Do you want to go for the next one? Take a chance. When you've got, say, 50 grand or whatever it is, you've won, that's safe, and you're going for the under, and you might go down to 1,000 again. Do you do that? No, because if City would have beaten us, not just the 2 points, they would have been ahead of us, and Liverpool slightly more ahead of us than we are now, but I think it would have been same old Arsenal. We've bottled it again. Though it wouldn't have been a bottling job, we'd have actually gone for it. I think it would have been like, oh my God, there's only nine games to go, and we know that City now, whatever we do, City can still win the league. It's not in our hands. The league, as far as us and City are concerned now, is in our hands. Liverpool's are slightly different, obviously. They're, I think, a point or so, are going to be a point or so or two ahead of us by the end of the evening. So the City game, I can understand why I did it. But, you know, we said that Trossard made that mistake. I think his first touch took him too far away to hit the ball across first time. But I think Jesus missed a couple of good chances. The one that really did me was the one where it came right across and he got it on his right foot and he was at the far post and he hit it with his right foot. There's no way on God's earth you're gonna get it between the posts even without a goalkeeper. It's no way. It's just, I mean, it's like trying to hit a snooker shot with a tennis racket, what he was trying there. Why didn't he just try and hit it with his left foot? You know, have a go. But no, he didn't. And that one when he kept doing the slalom inside and outside, at some stage, when you've got a chance, especially against City, when they've got seven of their defenders in the box, you've got to take a chance and hit it and not try and beat all seven. But, bottom line, it's all about bottom lines now. Fine margins. We've got the point. We're still in the game. So that City game, I was happy with. I could have moaned a bit, but I'm not going to do that too much. I'm very happy with that performance to a degree because I think we could have pushed up just a little bit more. And also, they're very happy with the result. Right, when it comes on to the Luton game, I've seen those games before, and it felt like, it's true what someone said, a couple of players came in to prove themselves, and one of them proved that he just ain't good enough. You know, can I name him? I will name him. Nelson. They should call him Half Nelson, because he doesn't seem to put the effort in. That, I mean, not being funny, if you've got a chance to play for the Arsenal, especially in this side, where they seem to be going places. You're not playing in a 75 team where it's on the way down. You are playing in an exciting young team and you're young yourself and you've got an opportunity to show the manager what you can do on the big stage. And you just don't. The body language was so wrong. I think it looked like he was lacking a bit of confidence because you know what he was doing? He was getting the ball, first thing, facing the goal, turning, giving it back. For me, that's a confidence. It's like Kolasinac, when he used to play for us, when he lost his confidence, all he used to do is hit the ball back every safety. And he was playing on the right wide position. You don't want safety from him. If he was a defender, fair enough. And he just didn't take it. Smith Rowe, who I absolutely think is fantastic. I know he got all the plaudits. Someone asked me after the game, who I thought was my son did actually, who's man of the match? Well, I said, I don't actually know. It was so difficult because it was such a low performance level that is hard. And then I heard later on that Smith Rowe got it. Yeah, he might have done. He was involved in both goals, so you've got to give him that. He was definitely involved in both goals. Without him, we may not have scored. But he's still way off his best. Some of it is to do with obviously match fitness, and that will get better. And I think he looked a little bit not that confident either. A couple of times he could make up his mind the decision whether to give it or dribble a bit more. A couple of times he lost possession and gave. But he is quality. If he's got a chance slowly getting more minutes as to the next few games, I think he'll be fine. He will be fine. But
he's
Nelson,
got to stay fit, though, when he Melvin. He's got to stay. If he can't with Smith Rowe, if he doesn't stay fit, Smith Rowe, that doesn't really matter how good he plays, does it?
You're true. Like, no, it's true.
For the last couple of years, he seems to get fit, strings a couple of performances together, and we thought, okay, here we go. And then he's out for 3 months.
He's a bit like Darren Anderson has become, hasn't he? But hopefully he's not as bad as that. But it's been the last 2 years. Let's hope he gets to a situation where you just forget about it and he just goes on and on. I mean, look at Ruzicka, how long he was out for. You know, he couldn't go out if it was a heavy wind, could he, really, at certain day, Ruzicka? And now, you know, all of a sudden, he forgot about that. He was a bit older. He forgot about it. And he was a fantastic player for us, Ruzicka. Love watching him play.
Yeah. Man, what do you think about with you said about Nelson? I mean, that's about a year ago, maybe just more, that he scored that winner against Bournemouth. Mm-hmm. And he did that, and then he didn't play for like 6 months. And you say his head's down. I just think, and we've said this about Arteta pretty much since he's been there, unless you're one of Arteta's boys, you're not going to get in. You're not going to get considered. I just think there's a few players over the years that thought, it doesn't matter what I do, I can score last minute winners. I can run myself into the ground. If Arteta doesn't fancy you, he's going to use you sparingly. And I just think he knows he's done at Arsenal with Arteta, and he's probably or wants to leave in the summer. And I think if he'd have got away with it, he'd have gone somewhere last year. But then he always seems to get injured at transfer times, don't he? Like in the summer and January, so we can't go. I don't know if that's deliberately because he wants to stay or just sod's law and that's forcing him to stay. But I just get the impression that there's nothing he can do that would get Arteta to play him more.
You might be right, and say that, you know, if you're not one of his favourites, you don't get a game. But that's even more of an incentive to give it all he's got last night to show the manager up.
Look, no, he did last year, and if you've already gone past that point and in a player's mind, there's nothing I can do. We don't know. We might have had conversations with Arteta and said, "What can I do to get in the side? What can I do? Is it something in training?" And, you know, if Arteta doesn't fancy him, he doesn't fancy him. If he's give up. Sorry, Josh, you were trying to say something.
I was going to say, I think we've seen it with Nketiah, though, right? That Nketiah, we thought for a bit, was, you know, Arteta's favourite. When was the last time he's played for us? Like, when was the last time he started a game? Now that Havertz has come in, Jesus has come in, they've shown that we're beyond a player like that. I think there's still an opportunity for Nelson. I think Danny's just propping some stats in there. I remember seeing something last night about Nelson that I think it's the longest gap, or maybe third longest gap, between Premier League starts for an Arsenal player in our entire history. Wow. One of them being Matthew Flamini, because obviously he had a huge gap because he left for 2 years to go and play for AC Milan. I think it's back in 2020. You know, it was his last start he had for us. So that's 2020 is what, Emery era? Maybe start of Arteta, depending on what side of the season it's there. It's in. So
it was three games from the end of the season.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking here. It's 116 games from that until the beginning of this season. And this season we've played game 30 plus 30. 146 games.
Is there a loan in there somewhere, or has he not been on loan? Because I know he did go on loan.
Yeah, he went to PSV in 21-22.
Feyenoord, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know why I said PSV. It's Feyenoord.
Didn't they say he's quick, but not much else any good?
The thing is, Arteta doesn't fancy him, and he said he's down because whatever I do is no good. Well, try and get a decent move then. Show the rest of the world what you can do.
There was a point, wasn't there, where he's only just signed a new contract in terms of he was out of contract, last summer? Summer before?
Yeah,
he signed a new deal. And it is interesting. I think through his career, he has been incredibly poorly advised. I think it was at one point during the Emery era where we had a glut of wingers, and we'd offered, sorted him out alone. And his agent went, "No, go stay and be ninth choice." And you're going, "He's not going to break through. Just be sensible about it." And I think he's one of those that has just got wrong advice throughout his career. But I'd kind of disagree about him probably throwing in the towel. When it comes to it, I think he is just not that level. He's not Martinelli. That's who he's been pushing against. And it's Saka. Those are the players that he's got to be better than. And you can see he's not shown that in that time. I think the one thing that helps him is that he's homegrown. That's why he stuck around for so long and why we're happy to give him an extension. But now that we keep bringing in more English talent, I expect probably, you know, that we won't see him beyond the season. But Melvin, was there any performances from Luton where you think these players may start against Bayern, or do you still think that starting 11 is locked and sealed?
What, from last night they won't? They'll go back to our normal team. You'll have Kiwara would play at left back, people like that. The defence will be as it was, as you were, sir. Midfield, you'll have obviously the Rice is back and Jorginho's back. And up front, it all depends if Saka's fit, whether you have Jesus on the right or not. Other than that, and you might have at home, especially, I don't know if he's going to start with Trossard or Martinelli, but they're going to switch over. Whoever starts is going to switch that, you know, unless things go horribly wrong. So that's what I foresee for that one. It's only next Tuesday, isn't it? It's come quick.
Yeah, not far away.
God, I think the problem with Nelson last night was he was going out there and trying to play Saka's game, and he can't do that because he doesn't have a left foot. I mean, I don't mean he's got a stump. I mean, he is incapable of doing anything with his left foot. So he'd run down the right wing, just like Saka does, and he'd get – and I brought up the heat map last night during the show. So we see our attacking heat map. Look at the right-hand side. I mean, if that was Saka – that whoscored.com bit, that would all be green. And then it'd be green all the way into the penalty area. So Reece Nelson got all the way to about where that green blob ends, which is about 7/8 the way down the pitch for the people not watching. And he'd go, oh, right, what does Saka do? Cuts in. And he cuts in, but he cuts in with his right foot. And then with his right foot, the only thing he can do is put it back into midfield. Over and over and over again, he kept doing that. He wasn't playing his own game, which would have been like a standard winger, get all the way down and cross it. So Arteta has obviously thrown him in and gone, oh, you're going to play. You're not playing as a winger. You're going to play as Saka plays, and good luck with that, because I've seen you might as well just not wear a shoe on the other foot. You might as well wear a flip-flop or a Wellington or something, because you're not going to get any luck with it. And that's what he did all game.
You're being quite nice to him, actually. I see it differently. I can't remember, and you'll have to pull me up on these, you three, the last time Nelson went down the wing and beat a man. Sorry, I can't remember it. It probably happened when I was having a cup of tea at the time.
Only one I can think of is that FA Cup, or was it maybe League Cup game against Liverpool? We beat Van Dijk, but I couldn't tell you what season that was, and it might have even been the COVID years.
And he's played more than one game.
That's exactly between that time.
Yeah, that's the clue.
Well, we've got a little note in here from Hente. Says, often I watch Hente putting stuff in other people's podcasts and they don't read it out properly. And they make it sound like he's off his trolley. Right, I'll do it properly. For context, a bit of history. Our goal difference of +48 is shared second best in the club's history in top flight after 30 games. Only 1930-31 with +55. It's been better at this point of the season. So that says quite a lot, doesn't it? Anybody want to have a little a few words on that? Because that is immense. We've got the best goal difference in the Premier League.
I mean,
Danny, what was it like watching that season?
Well, I have actually invented a time machine, and it was very good. I sat in the stands with Herbert Chapman, and we had a Mars bar.
No, I mean, to be 30-31, I mean, they were so far above everybody else, the Arsenal team at that era. So you're talking about something super, absolutely super. We have now, that team was a juggernaut, as Liverpool and Man City have been over the last few seasons. Absolute juggernaut. So it's not a bad stat to have.
We are top of the league with a goal difference of 48, Man City 40. I mean, Liverpool 40, well, 41 now, because they've scored 38 for Man City. And I mean, you've got team West Ham, they're seventh with -5. A lot of that damage was done by us. And bottom of the league, Sheffield United, -50. So you've got almost 100 goal swing between top and bottom. Wow.
Okay.
That is amazing. Looking at this, I think, Josh, you were talking about this. Little thing I've done there on my Google Sheets. Every game, these are only Arteta's league games, and the teams on the left-hand side are done in order of where they finished last season. So you'll notice there is no team in... where did we finish? Second? It's been that long ago. I think we did finish second. Yeah. So that's why there's no team in second place. But you're saying, look at the results against Man City this season, like Josh said. 4 points last season, 0. Season before that, 0. Season before that, 0. And in 1920, Arteta's first season, he only played them once. And so to do that with two clean sheets, I mean, look at our results. We've played four games against the teams that finished top out in the top four last season. And we got 10 points out of a possible 12 with four against City, three against Man United, and three against Newcastle. Because it should have been six, but they were five because they had that dodgy goal. But that just shows an improvement. All the green and yellows compared to all the previous seasons where there's mostly red. That is warms the cockles of my cold dead heart. That does. Anyone got anything on that?
I could add in the Community Shield as well. That was a draw against Man City, and then beating them at penalties. So we've had a really strong, really strong season. I think that's one that, although we've maybe dropped some points in silly games, it's not been, against our title rivals where we've dropped points to really give them that advantage. It's just been those kind of irritating fixtures, which I think you can see which ones they are. I think we all know which games kind of all irritate us for different reasons.
West Ham, that's the one. If we're going to lose the title this season on any one result, it would be West Ham at home.
I thought Fulham away was a bit of a disaster. 1-0 up. We blew them away the season before. They weren't playing particularly well, Fulham. We're 1-0 up. This is it, boys. No, it's not it, boys, at all. And we get beat.
It is. It's very annoying. Nick, got the league to the game, the running fixtures here. Thank you very much to whoever did this. I've stolen it. And the first set of those fixtures are now all done. Man City smashed Emilio Martinez 4-1, world's greatest goalkeeper. We beat.
He got injured in the warm up and didn't play, Danny.
Did he?
Yeah, he felt ill in the warm up. I think he looked at Haaland and went, nope.
I just heard someone last night taking a piss out of him when we're doing the show. So I don't look at the other teams because I don't care. He didn't play. Bloody hell. Did I even have another goalkeeper?
Me, I think.
Oh, well, my commiserations.
You should have done that with that free kick.
Yeah, Liverpool playing Sheffield United now. So looking at that running, Nick, we need to know where Liverpool, who are, if they win every game, they're champions. What game out of all that lot are Liverpool possibly going to trip up and let us sneak in?
Doesn't look very good. I mean, sorry, I just cough. Well, Man United are losing to Chelsea 2-0 now.
Oh,
so I think, to be honest, Man United are probably out of about 11 points behind Villa for top four. So I think they've got no chance of getting top four if they lose. I mean, they've probably got no chance anyway, but if they lose to Liverpool, I think that's close to being mathematically done, to be honest. You're getting up to 15 points.
But you've got the rivalry between Liverpool and Man United. That's like the North London derby. Form and stats go out the window. It's just going to be glorious because Liverpool and Man United, that's their season now. It's going to rest on that one game. Can they stop Liverpool from winning the title?
It'd be nice. I mean, I don't know if Man United could beat them, but I think they could possibly get a draw. Palace are kind of Liverpool's bogey side for the last few years. Every so often they have a slip up against them. Spurs, possibly. Spurs seem to play well against other footballing sides, but hopefully not us. But to be honest, I can see slip-ups everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, for Man City and Liverpool, not for us. We're going to win. We're going to win the next eight games, obviously.
That would be good.
I'd look at that Sean Dyche game, Everton away.
Yeah, that's
because we've all got a derby. Definitely.
It depends what we got to play. Like I said, hopefully Man United are out of everything by the time we play them. So I said this a few weeks ago. You know, we play Man United where they may have to beat us to either get into Europe or get into Champions League, and Everton might have to beat us and stay in the league. Whereas I look at Liverpool, Spurs are going to be on their holidays. Villa are either going to be, you know, either guaranteed Champions League or Europa League. And Wolves, I think the Wolves are on their holidays now, to be honest. You know, we're going to have to watch the other fixtures and see what people to play for. I mean, saying that, even Everton were safe. You know what Sean Dyche like? He'd love to kick the shit out of us just to stop us winning it.
Yeah, last game of the season, possibly win the title. 1998 all over again. Oh, yes.
Or we could just spank them 4-0 like we did in 98. That'd be nice.
I was there. Great day. Well, I nearly got crushed at the end of it, but great day. Melvin, you got any thoughts on any of this lot? Where can you see Liverpool hopefully slipping up?
I think they've got a few games there that they might slip up, but it really doesn't matter if they slip up or not. It all depends what we do. If they slip up and we slip up as well to the same extent, then they win the title. We've got to just win our games one at a time. I hate looking too far forward. You don't know what's happening with injuries, people playing off form or whatever. There are some hard games for Liverpool there. And I thought out Liverpool and Man City, I thought our worry though they're both worries, a bigger worry would have been Man City, but it doesn't seem so at the moment. It just doesn't, because it's in our hands. But I just think that, yeah, of course, there's, you know, it's not, is it 8 games we got left, haven't we? We've all got 8 games after tonight. It's so many games. It's 24 points. You can jiggle around there, Alston. You can come up with certain ideas. We ain't going to get, if we actually now, I don't want to do it, go through the other 24 games, it'd be quite boring to do it. So where, yeah, how many points you get, how far out? We're going to be quite far out. So I'm not even worried. I'm just worried about Brighton's on Saturday. That's what I'm thinking about, I'm afraid to say.
Josh?
Are you going, Josh?
Oh, of course, but I'm not worried about that
Can
game.
You do something? Can you not like run onto the pitch and stop them scoring a goal, maybe? Pretend you're a goalkeeper? I mean, just think, you'll be in history for football for... You know, banned for life from all stadiums. Yeah, but you'd take that for Arsenal win the league, right?
Let's put it this way: I've just watched Arsenal completely shut out Man City. I think the Brighton attack will be fine. Yeah, I'm not worried about that fixture at all from an Arsenal perspective. I think we've seen from what Brighton can do is it's probably another opportunity to help our goal difference. On that respect, it's a lot of injuries in that Brighton squad. So yeah, I think it's a real opportunity again for Arsenal to push on that one. And then 60 minutes in, you know, the usual, we'll take people off, save them for the buy-in game that comes around pretty quickly. Saturday evening kickoff as well. So yeah, not too much time for a turnaround on that game. But I don't know what anyone else thinks.
Oh dear, yeah. I mean, I've been saying for a while that every time Brighton lose, Josh just goes, "Oh, they're away. They're terrible at home. They're good." So you think, have they got any chance of beating us tomorrow night? Tomorrow night, Saturday night.
Saturday night.
No idea what day it is.
Well, we're going to do a preview podcast. I've got to keep my powder dry for that.
Oh,
so, yeah. If anybody wants to go in full detail tomorrow, Danny and I are going to go full Brighton.
Yeah. Well, you are. I'm just going to sit here and nod.
All
hopefully
right,
not have a dodgy belly like Martinez did. Oh, yes. Well, let's have a little talk about the... we're running out of things to talk about. If anyone's got any questions, feel free to put them in the chat and then we will talk about them, because we've had... like I said, the name of the title of the show, don't moan about the last two games. Also, don't talk about the last two games. There's very little to talk about other than, I mean, the fact that Haaland this season has done absolutely nothing against us. I was looking at the stats for this game. For the Man City game, Ake had their only shot on target. Havertz and Trossard had ours. Haaland had 4 attempts at goal. None of them were on target. Is he a busted flush yet, do you think, anyone? Because he's not doing his back-to-back-to-back hat-tricks, is he?
Oh, he's a League Two player now, isn't he? That's what we've heard. That's what Roy Keane said.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen this before with so many players. He's having second season syndrome.
Yeah.
It's just happened to so. I'm sure he'll be fine next season. I mean, he still probably scored a fair few, but he was never going to match what he did last year because he's been worked out a little bit. Everyone's up their game. And obviously, Man City are slightly worse than they were last year. And I think that maybe they're overly relying on him scoring all the goals and that's stopped. But yeah, it's just typical second season syndrome. I'd, to be fair, if Man City wanted to sell us to him for 20 million quid, I'd buy him. I'm not going to say he's crap and ship him off back to Germany. So I'm sure he'll be fine next season. But
to be fair,
hopefully that's the reason why they don't win the league this year and we do.
He's played fewer games as well this season.
Yeah, he's had a couple of niggly injuries in his hamstring.
No, I'm just having a look. He's still top goal scorer.
I know, but I'm just compared to last. Yeah. Well, he scored nearly 40 or
36 and 35 last season.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in all competitions, that was close to 50, wasn't it?
52 and 53.
Yeah, exactly. So we were never going to hit another 50 in all competitions, was he?
Definitely not.
One of the reasons he hasn't been playing that well this season, I think he got a bit of rust on some of his cogs, got a bit rusty. Once they sort that out, it'll be all right.
So he's got a touch of the, it's called the Marouane Chamakh syndrome, because he had a great first season and then the rest of his career, he did absolutely nothing. Got a question there from formerly Noza. What other comments have we got in the, James Johnson, who does pods with us. Hope you're well. Well, I know he's well. Just chatting in the group earlier. The dream is Man United having to give us a guard of honour in that game, like we had to do for Van Persie and green sick face. Phil says we need to win every game as City have an easy run in. Nozar, Josh, maybe take Chief Wenger's special lasagna to Brighton dressing room. Have you got access? No, that's a no. Ah, Richard from the Over and Over and Over Again Arsenal podcast. It's a good podcast. Go and have a look at it, but don't follow him on Twitter because you'll end up trying to find out where he lives and shit in his flower bed. he says, isn't Haaland top goal scorer and missed half the season? Well, according to Wiki, he's played 24 Premier League games this season, so he's missed six or seven. I don't know how many games he's played at the moment.
Six. 30.
Oh, yeah, so I was right. He's missed six, but some of them he came on as sub. Pete Little says, Haaland record against the top three is extremely poor. One of you should pull it up on screen. Oh, I've run out of fingers. How would you even figure that out? That would take me about 10 minutes to do that, and I'm pressing buttons. Phil says, Haaland is like Adebayor. Correct pronunciation and spelling. A big clumsy striker who has no football brain but can use his weight and shoot. Well, there you go. Oh, and Love Johnson has given us a question as well. And Paul Nell says, do Spurs get Champions League with fifth? They are a thorn in City's side. Well, I mean, I think if we win the Champions League, like I predict, and then Liverpool win the Europa League, they'll both get automatic qualification. So I think anywhere down to 10th this season, Josh, can next season will be in the Champions League from this season. Is that about right?
Roughly correct. So basically, I think anyone in, ninth. So I think it'll go down to ninth this year for conference.
Yeah.
Because the assumption is if we get through, so long as both English teams get through the quarterfinals, then one, we've knocked out a German side. Yeah, so I think we're competing with Germany. And most Italian sides, I think, are out. Or at least should drop out at some point. I think in theory, the numbers point that fifth will be a Champions League spot in the Premier League. And then everything just keeps dropping down. So Liverpool won the League Cup. So that place is already available in the league.
I thought they stopped that with the League Cup. The League Cup didn't get anything now.
No, League Cup gets the conference place, isn't it? Was it get a Europa League certain
round? Thought they'd said no and got rid of it.
No, what's the point otherwise?
I'm being licked by a pussycat.
Yeah, I'm sure they moved it because the lines moved on the table. Yeah. But yeah, I'm sure it'll go down to ninth this year for who can get European football. So Man United will still be okay.
Looking at the draw for the quarterfinals, Arsenal, Bayern Munich, Atletico Madrid. Atletico is Borussia Dortmund, Real Madrid, Man City, and PSG, Barcelona. So like Josh said, there's no Italian teams in that. And in the Europa League, scroll down to the fixtures, and the teams left in that are semi-finals, final. I think that's last season.
I can tell you Roma in it because they beat Brighton on the way.
Oh, yeah. Sad time. It's Milan v Roma, so one less Italian team there. Liverpool, Atalanta, Leverkusen, West Ham, RIP West Ham. Benfica, Marseille. So there you go. That's at least one's going to go out. And Atalanta are not going to beat Liverpool. So they're going to have one Italian team in the semi-finals of the two main European trophies. And I don't know why I hadn't updated my shortcuts. And in the Europa League and the Europa Conference League, the Johnson Paints Trophy Europa League, the teams that are left in it are Club Brugge, Panathinaikos, Olympiakos, Fenerbahce, Aston Villa, Lille, and Victoria Unpronounceable v Fiorentina. So it looks like they're probably going to get two teams in the semi-finals if they're lucky.
Nick, that's rude. You're not allowed to put that on the screen.
What's he put?
It was a potential that
Sheffield United scored.
Yeah. Has VAR finished yet on that one?
Oh, VAR hasn't started yet. They may disallow it.
This is at Anfield, so there's still time.
Sheffield United have had points deducted for scoring at Anfield. They're not happy with any of that.
Bradley own goal. I'm not sure VAR can disallow an own goal.
Well, you never know.
We'll find a way,
don't you?
How long to go, Nick? How long to go?
Half an hour.
Oh, forget it then.
I'm plus clock out. Time. Well, so
I really got excited then.
Yeah, no.
How long to go? As much time as needed.
Yeah.
Needed. Let's have a little chat about Bayern München. They are having a torrid time in the... Hold on, I'm going to go to here and go there and get their current season up. Because they bought the world's greatest striker. And after winning the German title 142 years in a row, they... they're not going to win it, are they? Because, hold on, I've actually got a link for this, because I think it was 11 seasons in a row that Bayern Munich have won it. Scrolling down, here
was
we go.
The last team was at Wolfsburg.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It is indeed 11. Then it was Dortmund under Kloppo. And then it was Munich, and then it was Wolfsburg, Munich, and Stuttgart. Look at the pronunciation. Why can't everyone just have German players? 11 in a row, Josh, as you seem quite eager to have a little poke here. 11 in a row by the world's greatest striker, breaking all the records, almost broke Lewandowski's record for goals per game and goals in the Bundesliga season. And now they are, and basically they're shit, aren't they?
Well, have you seen that he's now potentially spursing that record as well now?
Is he?
He's bottling that, yeah. He's now behind Lewandowski in goals per game.
That is such a shame.
Yeah, but you know, the season's been going, you know, they looked in January and they're going, right, what can we do to help our ailing season? That's it. Bring in more Spurs players.
Yeah. So
Eric Dier is now the mainstay of their defence. I think Tuchel has clearly, I don't know, has anyone checked to see if Tuchel's maybe like a closet?
He's a closet something.
Is it? Well, it's a closet. I was trying to think of who Bayern Munich's... 1886 is their rival. Was that who he was a fan of? Maybe he's just trying to destroy them from the inside. But yeah, I think they're also coming up against what a stupid team in Germany. I don't know. Is that the best way you'd describe Xabi Alonso's Bayern?
What, stupid?
Stupid. Was it 40 games they've played and they haven't lost a single fucking one?
And the number of times, because I've had a beady eye on them, they've been losing, and then it comes down to the last few minutes of the game, and they go, yeah, off we go. And then they scored two goals in injury time, and then they've done that twice in the last three games. They did it against FC Carrier Bag in the Europa League, about to lose, and then they pop up with a goal, and they turned Bayern over in the league, made them look like a non-league team.
They looked awful. Munich. They looked awful, and yeah.
I mean, we've got to talk about the player who went from us to looks like the new champions. What's it?
Granit Xhaka.
Xhaka. We've got to talk about Xhaka, haven't we?
Wonderful.
I mean, people loved him. Some people didn't love him, but I think he would be an absolute legend. I wasn't one of his biggest fans, I must admit, until the last season or two. But I think he would be an absolute legend if he scored an own goal in the last game. And so they can't be the Invincibles of Germany. I think that would really go down well with me. I don't know about you. You know, if they draw him with a minute to go, score a floppy own goal. And, oh, sorry, boys, we've still won the league anyway. Does it really matter?
Well, that's going to be the interesting thing, isn't it? That I think, who was it? If either Omri or Perez, I'm sure, said that the hardest thing in that Invincible season was continuing the run after they'd confirmed the league title. Because you see it, the Invincible runs, as soon as the league is confirmed, you see the team just drop off. And it's whether or not they'll continue that. And I expect them to still continue to progress in the European competitions. I reckon they'll still have an eye on what they can do there. I would be amazed if they finish the season entirely Invincible. But yeah, absolutely incredible run they're on. But I agree, Melvin. If Xhaka would do, show us, the old Xhaka.
The early days.
Yeah, there's a man coming through in goal.
In the first 5 minutes.
Size someone down because, you know what, he's just a little bit too quick for him. Yeah, maybe we'll get Anthony Taylor over there to manage one of the games just to make sure he gets that double yellow that he doesn't deserve. Something like that.
I've got hundreds of pictures on my computer here, and I'm just trying to find any of.
We don't want to see those, Danny.
of Xhaka being sent off for doing going full Xhaka, but then no, I'm not going to disrespect his good name like that, because he's a wonderful player and they're doing wonderful stuff there. And even more wonderful news, Alonso has said, "Oh, I'm staying at Leverkusen next season," and Liverpool are going, "Oh, do you have to?" And PSG, they might need another manager. And Barcelona, they need a manager. I mean, when was the last time in top flight football you had all the biggest teams, so many big teams in the leagues are wanting a manager and there have been none available? Are any of them going to have to go, "Has anyone got Jose's number, for fuck's sake?" I don't want to.
Newcastle.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay.
That's what I've made up, and I'm sticking to it.
All right, fair enough. I don't need to. He won't come over here again.
No, there is some.
He's blotted his copybook so much over here now. He should just walk away from this country, Mourinho. Yeah.
As you say, Danny, there's basically every big job other than Inter Milan available in Italy next season, or in the summer. Barcelona's available. You know that Ancelotti's got one more season left at Real Madrid, so that's
just that every year, though, doesn't he? He was meant to take the Brazil manager's job.
Yeah, they're livid, aren't they? Because he did, and that's where I think Alonso will end up. He'll go to Real Madrid because he'll go to a proper big side rather than Liverpool.
Well, he played for three teams, really, didn't he? Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, and Liverpool.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same as thinking that would Arteta go back to Sociedad?
No.
Or a team like that. So, no, I don't expect it. I think that's where Alonso would end up. But where else was it? I think PSG will probably keep on hold of Enrique. But say England, I'm assuming the Man United job will be available, as well as the England job.
Yeah.
By the end of the Euros.
Hopefully. And they'll swap places and get Southgate out and get him into Man United. And then Manu Lol Spurs United will carry on.
So long as Southgate stays at England, Ten Hag stays at Man United till after Arsenal play him, because I'm not having a new manager bounce during the title run-in.
That is not necessary, and that would be very annoying. But, let's talk about the Man United. I mean, the Bayern Munich game, Nick. Are you confident? Because the last time we played them, they smashed us home and away. 5-1 each time. Legendary set of results there. Legendary as in we can never live it down. So what's your thoughts about the game? Because I'm just looking here. No, that's not it. Yes, the first time we've been in the quarterfinals since 2009-10. And then we drew and lost the two games that were the quarterfinals. The last time we were in the semi-final was 2008-09. Lost both the semi-finals. Was that against Man United? I think it might have been. I think I was at one of them, possibly. Yes, what do you think, Nick?
I mean, we'll find out. You know, I don't know. Has anyone left that played in the last time we played them? I'm sure everyone must have been replaced. There's no one left from when we last got knocked out by them. I think Xhaka would have.
We've got the same dinner lady, I think.
No, Xhaka never played.
We sacked all them during COVID, didn't we? So they're all gone.
Xhaka never played in the Premier in the Champions League for us.
Did we sign him the year after that?
Yeah, it's the first year of Europa League.
So, I mean, they need to be aware of what they did to us the last two times they knocked us out. They're not as good as they were. They're having a nightmare in the league. So, like, normally when we're playing them, by now they've already pretty much won the league, so they can rest players for the league and only play the best team, you know, in the Champions League. I assume they're not doing that at the moment. They're still trying, you know, to claw the points together. And it's really weird when we play in Europe. We always try to flip to this stupid European style and try to do their type of thing. No, just play a Premiership game, run them into the ground, and we need all our players to be on top shithousery for the whole 90 minutes. And more than what they, you know, because normally it's the other teams that do that to us. Like with Porto, I think me and a few of us thought Porto was going to be an easy tie and it would be multiple goals both. And that wasn't, because they made it a cagey, weird, awkward Champions League. So I don't know, the referees played their part in that as well. But we just need to hit them really quickly and just run them into the ground, because they can't keep up with the Premier League's like pace how we play in this country, because they're a lot slower in Germany. Oh, they're more tactical. But we've just got to force them to play our game, which we haven't done in Europe for a long time. I just want to see us go out there and just dominate them for 20, 30, 40 minutes at a time like we can do in the Premiership. I want us to do that in Europe, because I think if we do that, and not saying you want to show them no respect at all, but if you go in there scared and try to, oh, well, let's just see how we are for half an hour, let's just show them too much respect, you're 2-0 down. And then you're chasing the whole time. I just think we've got to start really quickly in that game.
If people want to get their hankies ready, the last three games we played against Bayern Munich, we lost each one of them 5-1. Like Richard put in the chat, Xhaka had actually signed. I wasn't sure if it's that season or the one after. The lineup against the last time we played them, which was the 7th of March 2017, which doesn't seem that longer. 2017, that was like 7 years ago. How is that possible? Numbers. I know numbers. Ospina in goal, Bellerin right back, Mustafi and Koscielny centre backs, Monreal left back. And then you have got Xhaka and Ramsey in midfield, the Ox on one wing, and then possibly Theo on the other wing, Giroud up front and Sanchez playing behind him, and Lewandowski. We went 1-0 up with Theo Walcott. Happy days. And then fell apart.
Koscielny got sent off, didn't he?
No, Koscielny got sent off after 54 minutes. And then they got a penalty. And that made it 1-1, and then they managed to score 5 goals in 30 minutes. Lewandowski, Robin, Costa, Arturo Vidal, the monster, scored 2. The game before that, 5-1, that was the first leg, and our lineup was very much the same, apart from we had Kieran Gibbs at left-back, and Ozil, Bovin, starting him, turned up. You notice Ozil's now doing all of his tweets, and all of his tweets have got the Turkey flag in it. That's why the German national team hated you, Ozil. Because
it's also finally found a gym.
Yeah, well, yeah. And they knew his allegiances were for Turkey, not for Germany. And that's why they all hated him.
I know which machine he's definitely been using a lot, by the way, from all the gym pictures I've seen, the vending machine.
Hey, cheeky. And that game, Robin scored first. Sanchez made it 1-1. And then again, everything's fine until the 50-odd minute. And then they managed to score 4 goals in half an hour. Lewandowski, Thiago Alcantara, which is the material you used to get in Austin Marinas back in the day. He scored 2. Thomas Muller, still there. He scored 1. And the game before that was in November 2015, 9 years ago, nearly 8.5 years ago. And our lineup was... hold on, how comes that is Ospina, 17. Oh, Czech was in goal for us. I thought Ospina came before Czech, not after Czech.
Well, there it's you cut go. Goalkeeper rotations, I guess.
Oh. We had Petr Cech in goal. Centre-backs, Gabriel Paulista, the monster, and Mertesacker. Full-backs, Monreal and Debuchy. That's been a while. Midfield of Frankie the Cock. And fucking hell, work this out. I think Santi had moved infield by then. And then on the wings, we had Campbell. Joel Campbell, someone want to say it?
Yeah,
Waker.
And then Sanchez and Giroud. And then we had Chambers, Iwobi, and Gibbs came on. And so Giroud scored after 69 minutes. We didn't really max. We were 4-1 down by then. Lewandowski, Muller, David Alaba, Robin, and Thomas Muller. So Thomas Muller was the only one still at the club. So, Melvin, you were probably there for one or two of those. How do you feel about getting revenge, and is it likely?
I think it's very likely, but you say revenge. It's only a name because, there, as you say, there's only one player who played in any of those games from either team. Mm. I mean, look how they've come off the top. They're well off the top. They were the top team, Bayern Munich, weren't they? They're not a top team.
Oh, Manuel Neuer is still at Bayern.
All right, not even in their division are they a top team. Now they were one of the, if not the, top team in Europe. And us, we were shocking. But let's face it, we were shocking.
We were going through the bins at our back of Aldi for players.
Yeah, exactly. So, and now look where we are. We've got a younger team. You know, everything about us is better now, so it's not like for like. It's irrelevant what the scores were. I don't think if our manager put on the ball, look, they beat us 5-1, they beat us 5-1, and then they beat us 5-1 again, let's go for revenge, that really, that ain't going to stir them, because they ain't got a clue, the players in our club, what it means. You know, as I say, they never played against themselves. So it doesn't make any difference. We just got to do, I mean, I agree with Nick totally. If we play our game to our strengths, That's the only chance we got against them. We start playing against them like they're a European team, so let's change things. You cannot do that, Ebby. I'm not saying we will, but if we do, it's going to be, it could be horrendous. You know, even how bad as they are and good as we are, that will level things up. We've got the advantage. We've got the momentum. We're in a higher, a tougher division than them, and we're near the top. They are what, 13 points behind the leaders in their division? It's not the greatest division, let's face it, at the moment. So play to our strengths, and I think we should be fine.
Josh, just looking at some of the other stats in this game, the last time we played them, Mesut Ozil was on the bench. That sums up his career, because I'm going to assume he'd fallen out with Wenger or wasn't behaving himself. Lucas Perez, one season wonder. Frankie Cock, Kieran Gibbs, Gabriel Paulista and Petr Cech. It's not very much there.
Who's Frankie Cock? Who's Frankie Cock?
Coquelin.
Yeah.
Oh, Coquelin, sorry.
Coquelin. We do like to give them stupid names. I mean, on the bench for Munich, you had Douglas Costa. He was great. Renato Sanchez, Kingsley Coman, and Thomas Muller. They didn't even bother coming on. That's how easy that game was for them, and that was at our place. Scary days. No wonder we were. How did we keep podcasting back then? We used to get big numbers because we used to get hammered all the time. Now, no one watches. Nothing to moan about.
No, I remember those heady days with an angry Welshman or two. Yeah, I think definitely looking at. I think Melvin could hit the nail on the head. To be honest, is two chalk and cheese between the fixtures back then and the sides they are now. There's only one small worry for me. You know, it's still a good side and they've still got a very good manager. That's my worry, is what they can do to stop us. It's not what can they do against us, it's how do they stop us from scoring. Tuchel's a very good defensive manager, so expect him to kind of stuff up the midfield, try and stop us from basically playing our game. That's my worry there. But across two legs, I hope we've got enough. I think we're slowly showing more European pedigree. And I think we just another step in there. But I think looking at what the neutrals are saying about us, they have us as one of the favourites for the Champions League in terms of our quality. So I think we've just got to go out there and play like that, really.
Let's have a little looky poo and I'll share something here with you. It is the post game show from the last time Bayern Munich beat us 5-1. Let's I was just interested to see who it was. It's so I'll do that one. And then you should all see my screen here.
Ooh.
And someone I've not seen in a while.
John.
Well, you're hosting, you tit.
No, I'm not. I told you, piss off, you do it.
I said you're host tonight.
Well, this team is in shambles. We're in shambles.
Said, hello. Welcome, dear listener, fellow gooner, broken-hearted gooners of the world. Here we are, gathered together today in this moment of need. You love, and it's going to be all right in the end. And with us tonight, we have, going from left to right, we have Shitbeard himself.
What? Oh, hello.
Next, we have Carl, the voice of reason tonight. And then finally, you've got, I'm going to hand the job to you as host in the last second, Mr. Carpenter. Carpenter out!
Bullshit. We talked, honestly, you are a nightmare.
Oh, there we go. That's, I think, glory days for ABW. I don't think anybody can deny that. Glory days of no one know what they're doing. And then getting our team regularly spanked. So are we all of the opinion that we are going to get through against Bayern Munich? Start with Josh.
Yes, I think so.
Nick?
Yeah, I think we're going to get through. I think we're going to make a, I think we're going to make a statement.
Oh, statement of intent. Lovely. Melvin.
Yes, I agree with the pair of them. I think we will. We'll get through. Yeah.
And I do as well. That is a hat trick plus one, a double brace, if you will, of people. What do the people in the chat say? I'd be interested to. Oh, fuck me. Liverpool have scored.
Yeah, that's what I don't care.
Brighton scumbag. Absolute scumbag. It was there. We could have had it all. The slums of obscure. I don't know what that is. What's that mean? Found who in the slums?
McAllister. Have you not seen Stephen Warnock after their last game? Whereas I don't know where they found this guy from. Yeah, this World Cup winning Argentinian midfielder who's playing in the Premier League for the last three seasons. Yeah, Liverpool scouting department, best in the world, finding players like this and plucking them from obscurity. And yeah.
Have you noticed
they've invented finding players now?
With BBC Five Radio, they have an obsession with ex-goalkeepers. They've got Peter Schmeichel on all the time. They've got the Aussie one, used to be at Villa, Schwarzer. Then the other one as well, the one who was at Villa and Man United. Who?
Brad Guzan.
No, he's American. But they've got about five regulars who are. I mean, we've had Chris Woods on there, I think.
Wait, not Mark Bosnich.
Yeah, Bosnich. I've heard him on there. Yeah, what do goalkeepers know about football? Absolutely nothing. When was the last time you had a goalkeeper who went on to be a decent manager and don't say unpronounceable Wolves manager because he was just crazy?
Gary O'Neill.
Was he?
No. Nuno was, though. Or is. Was.
Nuno Espirito Santos. Mm. Biff, baff, boof.
Been sacked from every mid-table team in the Premiership.
Yeah, it's jolly good. Right, we've only got two questions from you. According to this, we've got 202 people watching. We don't. It's broken. It says 179 watching on Twitter. We don't get 179 replies on Twitter if we offered them £10 if they replied. Absolute scumbags. Peter has said, aggregate score prediction 4-2 to the Arsenal. Yeah, I can see that possibly. Right, we need more questions, people. Otherwise, this is going to be a very, very short show because we've run dry. Question from Formerly Knows for you, Melvin. Can we celebrate St. Tottenham's Day? Yeah, I almost didn't say that right.
You didn't.
Ah, thank you.
I don't know. I suppose there's 8 games to go. How many points are we ahead?
Oh, loads.
11. So let's say in 4 games' time, hopefully.
Well, looking at the history of it, we won it last season, obviously, and then they won it for 6 seasons in a row, which they thought means they were the greatest. But so the score at the moment is 38-14 to Arsenal, because I've only gone back to 70-71. But I think it was, I saw something on YouTube saying it only really started in about 2002. Is that right? Anybody got any idea about the history of it?
I don't know when it started, no.
What, football?
Yeah.
1993, isn't it?
Yeah, that was it. And looking at the earliest we've ever won it, a few times last day of the season, and I think we've actually won it in March sometimes. 13th of March looks about the earliest we won it, and that was in the Invincible season, and we beat them by 45 points.
It could actually happen when we play them, 28th of April.
That would be interesting. Hello, Bergie. How you doing, mate? You okay? Oh, I've got a wet pussy. Oh, you've been in the bushes again, mate.
A wet what?
Bad boy. Ah, hello? Yes. So talk to me about St. Tottenham's Day, someone, while I have an itch. Oh, that's nice.
I don't believe in all that, St. Tottenham's Day. I just don't think they're in our... We should put them in our equation. What's it got to do with us, what they do? The only worries me if there's us and them, which it doesn't really happen, go for the title. That's only time I worry about them.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about what they do.
It's just another stick to beat them with. And we do like to beat them with any available objects. And this is a shitty stick that they hate being beaten with because they don't have their Spurs equivalent, do they? So, anyone got anything else for that before I go on to the next question?
Nope.
Spurs haven't won the league for over 60 years. My dad wasn't even born the last time they won the league. And he's 63.
Great days. Right, that's a question from Nozo. We've got one here from Love Johansson, or Johansson. I'm going to go Yo, just like the Formula One driver. Evening, question. Chelsea a bigger threat than Man United in our run-in, Nick? What do you think?
They're a weird side, Chelsea, because they've got a lot of individuals and they have got some good players. And on occasion, like 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here, they do click. And I do think if they keep the players they've got and keep that manager there, they are going to come good in the next 2 years. Not good like they're going to win the league, but they'll be pushing for Champions League quite easy with the squad they've got, unless they sack them and get rid of everyone. So, yeah, just because Chelsea are having a rough couple of years, it don't mean that they're an easy win 3 points. You can't turn up there, oh, we'll beat them easy because they're not as good as they used to be. It's not like they're, you know, I can't think of the side who's that, you know, like Leicester, how they dropped off. They haven't dropped off like Leicester dropped off, have they?
No.
Still a good side.
Yes, I see Raphael Varn and Casemiro both playing tonight. That's much like a solar eclipse. That very, very rarely happens where they both start the game. Guaranteed they won't both finish the game. Josh, are you worried about Chelsea possibly being a bigger threat to, what was the question, to the... I've just taken
to Man United.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll beat them by one fewer goal, I guess. That's as much of a threat as I really see Chelsea as. No, I think we can basically don't give away a penalty and mark Cole Palmer. And that seems to be how you beat Chelsea. I don't really see much of a threat there. Man United, I think you've seen that they'll give us at least 20 shots available to us. just got to make sure we can beat Onana when we've got our proper finishing boots on. I don't see much of a problem for either of them.
We saw that in the game at our place this season, didn't we? They were rubbish. How about you, Melvin? Got any thoughts on it?
If out of the two, the Man United game is far more difficult for us. We've seen it over the last 5-10 years. However bad they are, and believe me, they've been bad, haven't they, the last few years? They still seem to turn us over at their place. Against Chelsea at home, I think we would be too good for them. But away, it's there. Going back to history, it's their type of cup final, isn't it, to get one over on us. There is something that still lingers that they want to beat us more than perhaps most other teams, Liverpool aside, and probably City now. But we are the team, even if we're not doing well, they will want to beat us, and they will just go up a notch. It may not be enough, but they will go up a notch. Okay? So I'm more worried about the away at United. I've seen too many games there. I've been to too many games there where they've beaten us and they shouldn't have beaten us for different reasons, some legitimate, some not. So, no, I've still got the pain of the United away. And I've seen it recently on telly because I don't go away games now. And it's, for me now, it's the Chelsea game we can get over, we can do them. Away at United, we can do them, but it'd be more difficult.
Yeah, I'm not worried about either of them. But I'm looking forward to, like Josh was saying, having 100 shots at goal against United. And hopefully we'll score goals. Havertz could have a field day there. Final question from Hente. The maximum points Liverpool could get this season would be 94. The Arsenal 92 and Man City 91. That's if nobody drops any points. Do you think the champions will need 90-plus points? So... I suppose the question is, Josh, how many points are those teams going to drop? And then as you go along, deduct those points away from the 94, 92 and 91 maximum points each team can get. Because I don't think either side are going to drop that many points.
No, I agree. I think City probably hit that 91. I'm expecting them to basically win every single game.
Yeah.
And then it's a case of what can Liverpool drop if they do lose a game? Or draw one. I think it's going to be tight, put it that way. A bit like how I thought last season would go as well. Obviously didn't expect us to have that drop off around this time last year. But I think you can clearly see from everything the players are saying to the press. Zinchenko said it post-game that they're learning from the experience last year. And certainly it seems like we may have Saliba for the entire run-in, which I think was a huge thing last season.
Yeah.
Having to play Rob Holding instead, a player that I think I had to send out a search team to work out what's happened to him.
You asked Collins, didn't you?
I did. I asked Collins. I didn't know where he was.
Where has he gone?
He's at Palace. Played one game for him.
What are they playing for then?
He hasn't been in the squad for the last 4 months. And apparently he had ankle surgery. I did wonder if there was a different reason why he was out. Similar reasons to why old What's-His-Face, who used to play for Spurs, was out because his dog died for a bit as a cover.
How can his dog die for a bit?
Oh, yeah. Well, I definitely don't think it was his dog dying that was the reason he was out for 7 months.
Oh, right.
To put it that way. I think he had an issue with...
Dele Alli?
No, it was Lamella. Oh. Remember the one that scored the Rabona against us and that was their goal of the season and they lost the game?
No.
I thought he had a secret drug problem.
I think that's what he's subtly trying to say.
Oh, sorry.
You weren't saying that, were you, Josh? You were just talking about his dead dog.
As it's probably libelous, I'm saying nothing.
Yeah.
And I'll let Nick take the flack for that because he's...
Yes, his dog, Coco.
While you're blabbering away, Nick, try and cover yourself here. What do you reckon? How many points are each of these teams going to... Could you see all of them as... All three teams winning all their games. Hold on, are we playing any of those? We're not, are we? None of these are playing each other.
No, they're not. None of them are.
Yeah, there's the thing with the table.
Well, from this morning, Man City was still the favourites, so the bookies don't think that's what's going to happen.
How can they be favourites if Liverpool win every game?
Well, from this morning, Man City were still favourites. We've only ever, all season, we've never been no more than third favourites to win it.
Scumbag.
Like, even when we were top of the league for a couple of weeks and top, like, yesterday and stuff like that, we're still not top. So, obviously, they know something we don't. And the usual, they think stuff's going to happen, refs are going to make decisions, whatever. They think shenanigans are going to happen and points are going to be dropped.
You've gone full Alex Jones tonight, haven't you?
I don't mean
the Welsh much. BBC presenter.
Oh, the nutter that keeps getting banned off everything. But I was going to say something there, but I better not.
No, you better not. He's got no money to sue us with anyway. So yeah, you can say what you want. Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't like this because I've had this for years. Well, if these teams, he's going to drop, this is a hard game. So if they drop these points and they drop, and we've done it here on the podcast for years. I remember a couple of years ago when we were going for top four. Oh, well, we'll beat West Ham easily and we'll beat Southampton easily. And then we got spanked both of those games. And we think, well, why worry about what other teams are going to do? Like we said, the most we can get is 92 points. Do that. And let's see what the rest of them do. That's all we could do. It'd be nice, you know, like if we play early, like on a Saturday, is that going to put pressure on them? But then if they play on a Saturday and we play on a Sunday, that's going to put pressure on us. So, you know, until the last game of the season, we're all going to be playing weird times. I don't think there's going to be many Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff because I assume most of those games are going to be put on, moved for TV as well. If they haven't already, but
wouldn't be surprised.
I think there are going to be a couple of dropped points, but not many.
I'm trying to find a list of how many points each team won for when they won the league. But all I can find, Melvin, is the most number of points for any Premier League team was Man City in 2018 with 100. Liverpool in 2020 with 99, Man City in 2019 with 98, and then Liverpool in 97. And it looks like that was the only season where you've had two teams finish on 90 points, 21-22. Man City had 93 and Liverpool had 92. Yeah, I think that's it. No season has ever had three teams finish with 90 points. So could it happen
Liverpool
again?
Liverpool are 3-1 up now, by the way. Oh, so like 3 minutes to go. So they've done that.
Absolute scumbags.
Oh. No, but it's, as I say, it's, you never know. Expect the unexpected. All three teams will drop points. We know that. It's just that how many they drop. No one really can foresee what's going on. Are the bookmakers paying out yet on this Man City winning the league?
No, I'm just saying they say they're favourites.
Well, there we go.
Which is weird that the team that is third is favourites to win the league, and the team that was top of the league is still third favourites. Because, like I say, but they're very rarely wrong, are they?
Well, they say they're very rarely wrong, but the reason they're probably making City favourites is they do it all the time. They're very good at the last couple of furlongs, aren't they, City? Mm. They just go into fourth gear, and that's the only thing I can think of. Because I don't think they're as good as they were last year, and I think we're better than last year. I'm not saying I think we're going to win it. I think it is very, very fine margins. Mm. Every game is fine margins, isn't it? Now, from now to the end of the season, fine margins. And it might be we need a little bit of divine help somewhere, like all the other teams do, but we probably need it as well, or every team does. You need a little bit of something just to go your way. There's turning points in games, and there's turning points in winning leagues. And most seasons, there is a turning point where something happens and it changes the direction, and it will happen a few times.
For them last year. I mean, we were top of the league. Saliba got injured, a few other players injured. We dropped off, and they won the league. And I was, like I said, I watch a lot of in the summer when they show on Sky the Premiership years. I was like, oh, Arsenal won the league this year. Oh, but Rio Ferdinand got his drugs ban, or Van Nistelrooy done his knee, stuff like that. And, you know, things like that tend to win you. And it's luck. We need some good luck. We need Liverpool to get some bad luck and Man City to get some bad luck.
The real question is, did Jurgen go too early with saying he was leaving at the end of the season?
Doesn't look like it at the moment, though, does it?
No, at the moment, certainly not. I expect them to win every single game at Anfield, because that's what will happen. You know, they'll see every last moment there as a final hurrah for Klopp. It's the away games where I think they'll potentially drop points, and their form, and if you go into the stats, is not good. You know, they're winning games, but it is by luck rather than judgment. And I think there's people still saying at some point it's going to happen. It's got to happen, that it's unsustainable what they're doing. But it's getting pretty nervy. You know, there's only 8 games to go, and you really hope they drop some points somewhere.
I think there's a good saying, especially in the last 8 games, which might go to this, I'd rather be lucky than clever. And that's where we are at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you got the thing of that they were hoping that Klopp would win stuff in his last season. Now, he's got to hedge his bets with the Europa League, because he didn't win the League Cup, didn't win the FA, won't win the FA Cup. They're out of the FA Cup, aren't they? I can't remember the FA Cup draw.
Yeah, man, you beat him on stoppage time, didn't he?
Oh, so yeah. They didn't. Who won the League Cup? Man City?
Liverpool won it.
They have won a cup.
Yeah.
I do not watch any cup finals anymore unless Arsenal win it. I'm not going to sit there and be sad. So he's only got the League Cup to win. And in his final season, to only win the League Cup, that isn't going to be a glorious season for him. So he's going to want to add another trophy to that. So he's going to be trying hard for the Premier League, but also as a backup, he's going to be wanting to do well in the Europa League. So he's going to be having to, in the final stage of the Europa League, play his best players to make sure they get through, to make sure that he doesn't end the season with just the League Cup, because the Liverpool fans will be thinking they're going to win all three of them. But if they don't win the Premier League, then at least he'll go, well, I won the Europa League and the League Cup, and that's not a bad final season. But it's, I don't think that's going to be enough. It's not like they're out of all competitions and they've only got the Premier League to play for. Then they'd be more of a danger for us. So, it's going to be tough. I would be surprised if all three teams win all of their games for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. And we have three teams finishing on at least 90 points. Dear.
Does anyone think it's going to go down to the last game and all three are in it?
Well, Sky will make sure it does. Like they usually do. There'll be some shenanigans.
There'll be two teams for sure.
Yeah.
That go down to it. Because you can see how tight it is, right? The My assumption is that City get to 91 points. And then you'd expect Liverpool or Arsenal to be in and around. You know, they're kind of 88, 89 points by the end of the... before that last game of the season. We'll see. Anyway.
Hente's going to bed because it's 11:30 there. It's
don't
good
blame
night,
him.
Everyone. Yes.
When are we wrapping this up?
Now we are. Right. Thank you very much, everybody. Thanks for all your questions, both of them, or maybe three of them. I can't remember. Thank you very much for watching. It's been fun. It's been good. It's this good time to be a Gooner. And it's a good time to do podcasting because there's lots of people available. Josh, thank you much. You've been interesting.
Thank you. That's the least that I could do.
Nick, I want you to go and get that chocolate orange and put it in the bin as soon as the show's finished.
I'll post it over to you first thing tomorrow morning.
You can stick it up your bum. And Melvin, it's nice to have you back again. And I'm sure some of your pictures in the background are wonky, or is it your camera?
It's my eyes. Oh, no, it's your eyes, sorry. No, it's the angle of my... there we go. It is the angle. If I put
it up
there...
not helping.
It's not helping at all, is it? No, that's why I have it in the... that's why I have it there. I don't know why you mentioned it. My wall might be sloping backwards. I don't know.
Are they all ticket stubs and programs from games you've been to? Did you buy it like that?
No, it came like that. That's a present from somebody. Oh, the middle bit. Nice. But I've got two to go up there. Had them framed this week. Yeah. One is the two flags, a drawing of the two flags when we won the double in Benga. And one, can I show you? Can I just be show you?
Yeah, sure. I hope you've got trousers on. Never be too careful these days. It's a hangover from COVID. I'm not wearing any trousers. I've got a T-shirt on. Socks.
Yeah, but you're not getting up anytime soon.
Can you see what this is? That's me a few years ago with Arsene Wenger.
Oh, lovely stuff.
Which one's you?
I can't see.
The good-looking one. The good-looking one.
Oh, in the middle?
Obviously. Yeah.
I heard you was taller than that. Although Wenger is quite tall, isn't he?
He's very tall, yeah. So that's all been framed now. That's going to go back there at some stage.
Yeah.
So
matching frames.
Matching frames, very tidy, yep. Yep. And hopefully
very
straight,
important.
Not like the others. No, that'd be good.
No.
So that's where out there by next week because I can't do it. I'm useless and stuff like that.
Good.
So that'll be done. My son-in-law will do that, hopefully. Get that
good.
Done.
Nice. Russ has put Uncle Melvin. You're not related, are you?
No. That's what he calls.
And Love You Hansen says, cheers. Right. We will be back tomorrow night at some point. Me and Josh doing a preview show for the Brighton game. I thought it was a spider. It's not. It's the fucking shadow of my headphone, earbuds. And me and Deke will be back post-game on Saturday. Sunday, it'll be glorious. There'll be nothing to do. It'll be Football Manager all day long for me. And that's it. So thank you very much, everybody. Thank you much for listening. And now I'm going to go. I just got to press the right button. Do we have Anfield 89 or do we have Steve and Dave outro? I've only got two.
You know my answer.
No, I don't.
All right.
Steve and Dave.
Go for it.
Hey!
As soon as I scored that goal, I was fucking livid. Get down, dog. Splendid business.
He nearly caught the bloody thing. What are you talking about?
So I was just eating a full quiche. Well, you don't often see them at Ibs. So when you see them in the supermarket, they need to be swagged, microwaved immediately and get the brown sauce on and bosh, Bob's your uncle.
Never in doubt.